Okay, I told you have to bring another. Let me see. Eventually, it would be true. Just a little bit inside, a little bit. Not all the Mikvos Gedolos have all of the Mevarshim that the article, the new article one has. So it's a sentence or two that if you don't have in the old Mikvos Gedolos, in the regular Mikvos Gedolos, you'll just have to listen. Some of it will be Mitzudas and Radak and so on, but you don't have in the regular one from the Gra and the Mincha Ketanah. So there's some things that the new one. That's good. Fine. It's mamish terrific. It's terrific. It's good to have. Okay. So we're off to Pasuk Beis. Moshe Avdi Meis. V'ata kum avoris hayadein hazeh. So my servant Moshe has died. That's what we've been talking about for a while. Moshe Avdi Meis. So, that's what was. Now, we transition va'ata, and now. That's a powerful word, va'ata. And now. It doesn't just say kumavor, it says va'ata, and now. And now. Chazal tells that ata ain't ata l'tshuva. Ata means something very powerful. It means an entire shift, an entire change in one's outlook. It's not just moving forward. It's va'ata, and now. And now. Now there's something different, and now. Va'ata kum avoris ha'yadein hazeh. Get up. Kum avoris ha'yadein hazeh. Get up and cross over the Yardin. Ata v'chol ha'am hazeh. You, together with the entire nation. El ha'oris to the land asher anoichin ha'yisrael lehem levnei Yisrael. To the land that I'm giving to Bnei Yisrael. So let's just take a look for a second. Let's look in the Mitzudas, the Mitzudas David, everybody has. In the Mitzudas David. Va'ata. So Mitzudas David just says a few words. Va'ata means, and now, Hoyel v'hu meis, since Moshe Rabbeinu has died. In other words, if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have died, we would not be able to go into the Yarden. We'd not be able to cross over the Yarden. We wouldn't be able to go to Israel. It's because Moshe Rabbeinu has died. Moshe Rabbeinu's living, Moshe Rabbeinu's presence made it impossible. As long as he was alive, the time hadn't come. And that's also, again, for those of you who have, take a look inside the Mincha Ketanah, on page 6 of this, of the article Mikvos Gedolos, page 6. If you don't, just a sentence, just listen. But you see where in the Mincha Ketanah, the parish Mincha Ketanah, you have it, girls. You see that? Va'ata v'chol ha'am hazeh. That's really what we're going to be talking a lot about, those few words. Va'ata v'chol ha'am hazeh. Ki shnei devar m'hoyu ma'akvim ha'bi la'aretz. He explains that there were two ma'akvim, there were two obstacles that were holding us back from entering the land. Mitzad Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu being alive, because there was a gzeira, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to cross the Yarden. So as long as he was alive, we couldn't move forward. That's mitzad Moshe Rabbeinu. Mitzad ha'am, and then of course there was a gzeira, mitzad ha'am. There was the personal issue of Moshe Rabbeinu being alive, and he was not destined to enter the land, and then also mitzad ha'am. Because of the nation, the people. Shenigzer aleim sheyamusa b'midbar. Shenigzer aleim sheyamusa b'midbar. That the gzeirah was that they would, that generation would die in the desert. With the exception of Yeshua Kali, but that the generation b'chlal would die in the desert. Va'achshav shenizbatl shtei hasibay, so he explains. And now that these two ma'akvim, that these two obstacles are no longer there, it doesn't sound nice to call Moshe Rabbeinu an obstacle, but it doesn't mean chalila, something negative. But these two minyas of Moshe Rabbeinu being alive and the old generation being alive. And that's why the Pasuk says, emphasizes Moshe Avdi Meis. Because as long as Moshe Avdi was alive, we couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the introduction to the Sefer is Moshe Avdi Meis. That's Aleph. So that Gzeirah has been taken care of. They said that Moshe was not going to come, he's not coming. And as long as he was alive, we couldn't enter the land. So that's Aleph. Ki Moshe Meis, v'ha'eda she'imcha, הם שלמים ורואים לבו בארץ, וזה שם עתה וכל העם הזה. And the second ma'akev, the second minia, obstruction to moving forward, was the old generation. So that's what the Pasuk says. Moshe Avdi Meis, that's Aleph, Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer alive. And now, ועתה קום עבר הזה, then it's עתה וכל העם הזה. וכל העם הזה means not the old chevra. V'chol ha'amazeh. Otherwise, we're going to talk much more about this. V'chol ha'amazeh. I mean, we all know who's going. We know the cast of characters. It's like, you don't have to tell us v'chol ha'amazeh as opposed to who? As opposed to Frenchmen, Italians, or who? We mean v'chol ha'amazeh, that this nation is going into the land. We know who's going to the land. So why does it have to say ata v'chol ha'amazeh? So ata, we could understand, means ata and not the Rebbe. Not Moshe Ben. Ata. And the Chol HaMazah, and not the old generation. So that's the simple pshat and pasuk. That's the simple pshat and pasuk. And the Gaon says the same thing. If you, again, only in this, you don't have in the regular Mikros Gedolos, but then Biuri Hagra, right over there on the side. Va'atakum v'cholu. So the Gaon says, Ki ad ato haya Moshe kayim v'lo haya dayin hazman lich nesay tzisrom. That as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, the time hadn't yet come to enter the land. So all of the Mefarshim are explaining why is it necessary to tell us the obvious that Moshe Rabbeinu has died and that this is the Jewish people who are coming. So now we understand that the pshat is because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was alive, we couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. And as long as the old Chevra was alive, we couldn't go. So these are the two tanoim to coming into the land, Moshe Avdi Meis, and now it's Ata V'chol HaMazeh, you with this entire nation. Let's talk for a moment about this amazing word, not V'ata, but the one after V'ata, Kum. Also, why do we need to say Kum? Kum, stand up, get up. What's Kum? So the pashtus in the word kum, you look in the Metzudasin, the word kum, get up. So it sounds like somebody sitting shiva, right? So after Moshe Avdi Meis, and all that we've been talking about, there was this like massive ongoing state of shiva that the Jewish people were in. They couldn't get out of. It was very hard to get out of that. So kum, the Metzudasin says, who inyan zeros, that every, we see in Tanakh that word kum doesn't mean literally to stand up. I mean, sometimes it does, but when you're talking about Am Yisrael, it doesn't mean to literally stand up. No one's sitting down. Yeshua's not sitting down. Well, there is this idea of shiva, but kum is a lashon of zeros, meaning let's go. Let's go. Kum. Let's go. Everybody up. And he brings an example from Kum Lech Lamasa. Kum Lech Lamasa. The Radak also has a similar thing. Everybody has the Radak. Look inside the Radak on Pasuk Beis. Kum Avar. Kum Inyan Zeres. He brings a different Pasuk. B'chein. Kum Mishachehu. Get up and anoint him. So Kum Mishachehu, again, has nothing to do with how you're sitting or standing. It's a lashon of zeros. Kumu v'ivru lochem, kum hishalech ba'aretz. Right, Hashem Zbach tells Avraham Avinu to get up and to walk across the land. Kum hishalech ba'aretz doesn't mean literally standing up. Also, in the word, also just to add to that, in the word kum, we do hear the inyan of getting up from Shiva, because the first place we find this in Chumash is Vayokim Avram Me'al Pnei Mesai. We do find that. And remember that the beginning, the first use of a word is always the sharish of that word, of what that is. So in Chumash, when you go back to the beginning, it says that Avram Avinu was mourning the death of Sari Meinu, and then it says Vayokim Avram Me'al Pnei Mesai. And I spoke about that once in a Shabbos morning many years ago, that Vayokim Avram Me'al Pnei Mesai means in general that after a person goes through a terrible loss or some terrible tragedy, so there is that feeling of, I can't move, I just can't move. I can't go on. I don't want to continue. So the Lashon of Vayokam does, in certain contexts, it does mean that a person is immobilized by suffering or by misery or by mourning, by grief, that a person is immobilized. Vayokam Avram Me'al Pnei Mesai. And here too, Moshe Avdi Meis, Va'ata Kum Avarez Yadein. So the Va'ata Kum here is more than just a lashon of zeros, of come on, I'd get moving. It's life has to continue, right? There's a difference. It's not just telling somebody get up and go to school. It's saying to a person who is sitting Shiva. And there's a minute like that, that at the end of Shiva Lo'aleinu, at the end of Shiva, when it comes time for the Avelim or the Avel to get up, that there's a lashon of zeros that you go over after davening the seventh day, and come, stand up. And that goes back to Avraham Avinu, Vayokam Avraham Me'al Pnei Mesai. The standing up doesn't just mean Shiva's over, although it is a symbol of Shiva ending, but it's much deeper than that. It's Vayokam Avraham Me'al Pnei Mesai, to be strong, to go weiter, and resume life, and to go further, and to continue, and so on. That's for sure. And that itself is there's much to talk about. But Yeshua's whole Messias is a Messias of that Kima, that the Jewish people leading the Jewish people after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. But let's try to understand this now more in greater depth, based upon all that we've been learning for months now from Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Why is it so important to have this little word kum? Why is kum so important? Kum avoras ha'arden hazeh, ata v'chol ha'am hazeh. All that we've been learning about from Rabbi Tzadik is how Yeshua was created to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, and now we're transitioning from the world of Torah Shebichsav to the beginning of the world of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichsav, as we've been talking about throughout, is the Anhaga of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, where the Dvar Hashem is absolutely clear, where the man is falling from Shemaim, and we have the clouds, and we have the Be'er Miriam, and all kinds of miracles, and so on. All of that's the site of Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is without any wars. Everything drops on you from Shemaim. That's Torah Shebichsav. Moshe Rabbeinu is Torah Shebichsav. Moshe Rabbeinu brings the Torah down from Shemaim, and everything is taken care of for us, and so on. It's a gift. The time has come now to enter into Eretz Yisrael, where the Bechin of Torah Shebaal Peh, as we learned from Rav Tzadik, is really starting now in earnest. It begins at the end of Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu, those last eight psukim, and Moshe Rabbeinu has already died. But Yeshua is now the beginning of that, of this different Hanhaga, where it's no longer, you know, lechem min hashamayim, it's no longer man, but it's lechem min haaretz. And lechem is the oisius milchama, we spoke about that. Lechem, the letters of lechem, is the word lilchom, to fight, milchama. And now things are no longer clear. And that's why we understand that for the first time in our national history, there's a tremendous need for chizik. You know, so va'ata kum means until, as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, we didn't really have to do much. It didn't require a kima on our part. As long as Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, the ikka was min hashamayim. Was in Nisarusa de la'ela, was an awakening from above, was a shefa that was flowing down from above, and And we just had to receive it. And even that, we weren't so great at. I mean, on our Madrega, when we were back then, we made a lot of mistakes. But really, really, when Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, our job was to just humbly hold our hands and to receive all that was coming upon us from above. That was the whole hanhaga of Moshe Rabbeinu. This was the first time where Hashem is saying to us, get up. Get up. Stand up. And we say, like, you're not taking care of everything? Welfare, unemployment, severance. The Baruch Shalom says, no. It's all done. No more just sitting around and receiving. Va'ata kum. Try to hear that in that word, kum. Va'ata kum. And now, it's a whole different hanhag. It's a whole different mahalach. Until now, the mahalach was shvu. So beside the shvu. Shvu. Like when you're little, children, everything is shvu. Sit. Everything is to receive. When they're with their parents, everything is receiving. But the chasna, you know, if you would say one word to the chasna or two words to the chasna, you would say to him, va'ata kum. Be a gever, you know. Now you got to take care of your wife. It's a shame you can have a family. Get up. Stand up. Until now you didn't really have to stand up. It wasn't your ishtadlus. Now if you want, now what the Navi is saying is that anything that you're going to have in life, any success you're going to have in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem is saying, I'm not leaving you, I'm with you. But unless you're going to be kind of a Jew that's kum, a person that stands up, I'm not going to put the man by your doorstep anymore. You're not going to find it in your mailbox. It's not going to come to you anymore, the man. The water, the bear, Miriam, no more. If you want to have some water, go to your backyard and look for it, or whatever. Go to the grocery or something. But it's not going to, there's no bear Miriam dragging around with you and giving you your water. Everything now is by way of kibush, of conquest. And kibush means, of course, milchama, means now the lechem that you're going to have is going to be earned. And as you all know, that's the biggest yisod of our free choice. There's no longer naham de kisufa, the bread is no longer going to be bread of shame. We're like children and everything is given to you. You're adults. V'atakum. Get up. Get up. Stand up. Kibush doesn't only mean conquering the land. Kibush means conquering your instincts that tells you to stay in bed too long. Conquering the instinct that tells you let somebody else do the work for you. Conquering that instinct that says that mommy, daddy will take care of you, or Moshe Rabbeinu is going to take care of you. To be a person that's a gavra rabba, that's v'atakum. So now we're talking about a time of kibush and hisnachalos to conquer the land. And that's why the Mefarshim is saying that we needed zeros. This was very hard for us. We weren't used to it. Remember, before we were with Moshe Rabbeinu, we spent the whole stretch in Mitzrayim. And in Mitzrayim, we were slaves. And the Gemara says that there are 10 portions of atzlus, of laziness in the world, and avadim have 9 of those portions of atzlus. An eved by a slave is a person who's not motivated. Because what's the tachas? I get up in the morning to do his work. He doesn't have anything of his own. Nothing is his. So since nothing is his, he's missing that v'atakum. An eved has no motivation, no drive. B'chlal. So we were slaves in Mitzrayim, where we had become immobilized as a result of slavery. And then following that, we were also not particularly mobile. Everything was also done for us. In Mitzrayim, everything was done because we were slaves. You just get what you get and finish. And then we came into the Midbar and we continued to be people who were on the receiving end. But not people who were v'atakum. So it's understandable that it was necessary to have this chizik from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chlal, the whole parak, we'll see much more in a few minutes. The whole parak repeats over and over, chazak v'matz, chazak v'matz, chazak v'matz. Every second pasuk is chazak v'ematz. To be strong and to be courageous. It wasn't in our psychological profile until that time to be strong and courageous. It wasn't really something that we were used to. We weren't used to being strong and courageous. We were used to being weak and somewhat feeble as slaves, and then in the Midbar, we weren't in a place of strength and of courage. So that's why the whole perek, really the whole sefer, but this perek in particular, the beginning, is all an inyan of zeros, of chizik. Now, So the leader of all of this, the Rebbe, the new Rebbe, whose job it is to help us get up, help us stand, to become strong and courageous people. We're leaving the Midbar, where Hashem fought all of our wars, and now we're going into a scary place with all kinds of enemies who don't like us. So The one who was in charge of this is Yehoshua. So the shaila for Yehoshua at that moment was, now how am I going to do this? Remember, it's hard for us to imagine how he felt after Moshe Rabbeinu died. That was his whole existence. It was Moshe Rabbeinu. And now, any leader feels the weight of responsibility, you know, upon his shoulders. You know, there's a minig in America that started, I think, a couple of presidents ago, that when the new president takes over, the old president calls to give him like a little chizik or something, or sends him a card, or calls, even though they all hate each other, sinners, mothers, and each one is wishing the other one will mamish fail, even if it means the whole country falling apart. So even the last president sent to this president, and this, you know, they that's what they do. So any time that a person, you know, I was thinking about that, how Trump must have felt. After he won the election, I don't know if he really thought he was going to win, but then when he won, like, he probably said, whoa. Like, well, he's like not like that, I guess. He's not like that. But any normal person would say, like, oh my goodness, like, what am I going to do? I won. Like, if you lose, it's sad, but, you know, you're potter and you just have your life. But the shaila is like, what happens if you win? And Havdil Elf Alfei Havdalos, I mean, the enormity of the responsibility, a pachat. And the whole Yiddishkeit that Yehoshua knew was Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question was, where was he going to get his kaychus from? How is he actually going to do this? So the pasuk tells us the solution to that question. This pasuk itself tells us how Yehoshua is going to do this. Because it says in the pasuk, Vata kum avorze yadein hazeh. So Yeshua, let's stop there. So Yeshua was thinking, how? How could I do this? I can't. I feel so unbelievably weak and alone. So what does Hashem's Baruch tell him? Ata v'chol ha'am hazeh. Hashem's Baruch tells him, you're not alone. Until now, there was a different model of leadership. It was Moshe, with all the cheder, you know, the kids in the cheder. But you're going to see they're going to rise to the occasion. You're going to have a lot of help. And your help is going to be Am Yisrael. It's not just you. It's Atav Chol HaMazah. So I think that what the pasuk is hinting at is not that Hashem is like digging in, telling him, you have this unbelievable responsibility to take care of the entire nation. It's chizik. The pasuk is filled with chizik. The Sfasem is when the Sfasem is after his grandfather, Chedushim, Sfasemis' father died young, and Sfasemis had to become Rebbe after the Chedushim passed away. Sfasemis became Rebbe. It was already a very, very, very big Chassidus by that time. And the Sfasemis, after the Histalkus of the Chedushim, so the whole Chassidus was very, very broken. What's going to be? And the Svasemes spoke at the beginning when he took over the Chassidus, and the Svasemes said that the truth is that it's not possible that any one person should be able to take over and to lead after my grandfather, after the Chalishoim. Such a thing is not possible. Obitzazam and Kulana Biachad, together. Kulana Biachad. And so someone spoke about that at the beginning of his Hanhagen, that the only way that he could possibly think of leading the Chassidim is if we'll do this together. Because there's no one that could take over from my grandfather. I can't do that. And the only way that I could continue, or that I could begin leading you, is if together with you, with the Chassidim, we could do this. And we could be Menatzeach. That's what the Svasama spoke about when he first became Rabbi. And it's the same thing with the Pasuk is saying here. Hashem is telling Yeshua, Ata, but it's not just you. It's Ata v'chol ha'am hazeh. Ata v'chol ha'am hazeh. What Hashem is saying in this pasuk is that, Yeshua, I want you to understand that with you there's an entirely new type of leadership. There's a anhaga mechudeshes, mashu chadash, that there never was before, and it's mamish completely different than the anhaga of Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, the most frightening thing for Yeshua, of course, was, I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, and he's saying to everybody around him, do I look like Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. Like, why are you looking at me that way? I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. So I don't know what you expect of me. I don't do that stuff. I have no stick and fancy tricks. I don't do that stuff. So I'm no Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, I'm not the Nisha Lukim that's up in Shemayim, not eating or drinking. I'm not that guy. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him here is that I want you to understand from the beginning that I'm not asking you to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Avdi Meis, that was a one-time thing. There's never going to be such an Indian like Moshe Rabbeinu. That was a one-time thing. And that model of leadership, which I spoke about a little bit this morning, that way of leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu was something that's not going to be repeated. And not only is it not going to be repeated, but it's essentially unhealthy. It's an unhealthy type of leadership. It was a haras shah, like we say in halacha, right? A temporary emergency situation to have a Moshe Rabbeinu. And everything that he did, that's not regular. That's not the way the Jewish people are going to be living through history. It was Moshe Rabbeinu, was a haras shah. He was an Isha Lakim. That's something different. Moshe Rabbeinu, to begin with, was not a person that came into the position, that like grew into the position, or that was voted into office, right? There was no election by Moshe Rabbeinu, and there was no any of like growing into the position. Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership fell from Shemayim, just like the man. It just fell upon us. The man that anybody would have voted for would have been who?
Aaron,
he was the man. That he was the rabbi. He was with them all of the years. Everybody adored him. Everybody had like in their house that had a picture of Aaron Akari. He was the man. And if there would have been a general election, it would have been hands down. And everybody would have said, like, okay, his brother, like, could be he's a great person, but we don't know. We don't know him, and he's not one of us. He's not one of us. He's not part of us. Did he suffer with us? Did he work with us? My father, Zalga Zonsai, told me that after the Muhammad, they had a number of the, they had different people come to speak to them, to the survivors. And I don't remember where this was. I can ask my father if he remembers. He told this to me a long time ago, but I read in books about things like this also, but my father told me that they came And first, he said they sent like one or two American rabbanim. And my father said that they like, first of all, they didn't understand their Yiddish. Was very odd, you know. It was hard to even to listen to. But my father said that they couldn't be makabel from them. They couldn't be makabel. The Klosenberger Schusselin was going from one place to the other, and the Klosenberger became. And he stood up then and he says, Tyra, Tyra, breathe me shvas to my precious brothers and sisters. And they all started to cry. And he gave them chizuk. Because he was amcha, you know, he was with them. Imay nachi betzara, right? He was one of them. My father said we couldn't hear from people that they were nice. He said they came like they were sent. My father said he remembers that this rabbi came and his shoes were shining. Like we talk about here about shiny shoes, we use it like the way to. But my father said that his shoes were actually shining. He said, like, I don't want to hear what this guy has to say. He's got shiny shoes. I'm not listening to him. You know, and not listening to him. Besides, he talks funny. I'm not. I don't want to hear what this guy has to say. I read in another book about how there was, they sent somebody also from England or from America, and the chevra, the survivors, they just got up and they walked out of the room. He was trying to give them chizik, and they walked out of the room. Like, you're giving us chizik. We can feel. They sent you on a shlichus to come here to give us shlichus, you know, to give us chizik. It was hard to hear from somebody outside. I really believe that, as I've been watching my parents all of these years, that the emphasis is that in terms of communication, it's hard for them to be makabel from anybody all of these years. Only with each other that they have a certain thing with each other. But the parents' friends are all gone. But only with it, there's one. But only with each other they have a certain communication. So the man that would have been elected was Aaron HaKohen. There's no question, hands down. So Moshe, when it was in their eyes, it's Tzigi Kimena, right? Tzigi Kimena, I don't know. How do you translate that? Someone who came from the outside, it's Tzigi Kimena, right? He came from the outside. He's an outsider. So Moshe, when his whole hanhaga is hanhaga that didn't swell up from within. It came from outside. From Shemayim. And no Jew was ever asked, do you agree with this? What do you think about Hashem's choice of a Navi, of a leader? Nobody was ever asked. On a deeper level, Moshe Rabbeinu was really appointed from when he was born. That was last week's parasha, right? I mean, the Smala Habayis Oira, the house was filled with light. And he had a whole story, and he grew up in the palace. But you could try to like enter into the mentality of the people. He grew up in the palace. He's got shiny shoes. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu has shiny shoes. He grew up in the palace. When you try to talk to the chevra, like you have kids that you know, a lot of them that ended up on the street or they ended up with drugs or drinking and stuff, Hashem Rachim. So you talk to that chevra also, they're not open really so much to hearing, like from somebody that never went through that. They have their own chevra that they mechazik each other, they work with each other. A person who went through that, they listen to. Somebody that never went through that, it's hard for them to hear. So what's interesting here is that Moshe Rabbeinu's relationship with Am Yisrael was one that from the beginning there was a distance. I spoke about it also a little bit this morning. There was a distance. He wasn't amcha. He wasn't regular. He wasn't regular both spiritually, he was more in Shammai. He didn't grow up with them. He wasn't in the pits with them. You know, he married somebody from outside and came back, but he had the yichus, he had the right pedigree. His family, he had the right yichus. But he was outside. He was an outside person. So as great as Moshe Rabbeinu was, he was very respected, and the people were in awe of him. It's true they were in awe of him. But as I said this morning, that Moshe Rabbeinu, at some point in his life, had to wear something over his face. They couldn't even look at him because of his holiness. because of his greatness. Whatever happened, the carne, pana of the carne, or they couldn't look at him. And afterwards, after the chetegel, Moshe yikachas oil v'notalim chutz l'machne, the Moshe Rabbeinu moved away from the oil. I mentioned it this morning, that he moved away, not just away, that he moved far away. Which according to Chazal was so far that, it, as I said this morning, it took 3 hours. If you wanted to see Moshe Rabbeinu, you had to walk 3 hours. That's a mahalach. Right? You know, they didn't have bikes or anything. You had to walk 3 hours to see Moshe Rabbeinu. So, Moshe Rabbeinu's career as a Navi was filled with discontent on the part of Am Yisrael. Even though it's hard for us to understand, he wasn't well received. From the beginning, he wasn't particularly well received. But that's just what we read in Chumash. I'm not saying anything fancy. When you read in Chumash, he wasn't well received. And even after all that he did for us, and with all the Makis and all the Nisim and the Kriyas of Medalas, after everything, all that he was doing for us, there was always this feeling that it's him and us. That it's Moshe Rabbeinu, it's him, and it's us. Not like with Aaron. With Aaron, it was never like that. But with Moshe Rabbeinu, it was always a feeling of there's Moshe, and then there's us. So, of course, there was respect. And maybe even more than that, reverence. Maybe even more than that, some level of fear. But Sahakol, he wasn't one of the guys. That's for sure not. Moshe was just not one of the guys.
Not a man of the people.
Was not a man of the people. Now there's a mila to that, and as the Mefarshim will explain, why was it that he had to be brought up in the palace? Of course, the people were slaves for so many years. In order to free the people, you have to have someone that wasn't in jail, right? That doesn't have that way of looking at life. Somebody that's a ben chayrin. Because the din is, not the din, but the klal is, ein chavish matu asma beis asurim. If you're a prisoner, you can't lead other prisoners. But chalal, any great leader had to be somebody that was different, if you think about it. Lubavitcher Rebbe wasn't like a regular chassidish guy. It wasn't a regular chassid. Right? But he was able to make such things in the world. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, he was also always apart. He was different. He wasn't Amcha. He was not Amcha. They loved him. They venerated him. We all did. Everybody did. The whole world, even the ones that were against him, everybody did. Over Chalzos, he wasn't one of the guys. And that was necessary. And for the most part, that's how it is with great leaders. Because you can't lead someone if you're caught up in their inyanim. You can't really lead them out of it if you're stuck in their place. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be groomed differently and prepared in a different way. And we've seen it by many, many of our leaders. Just the ha'ara to understand why nowadays it's very hard to have the kind of leaders we had in the past. I'll leave it at that. There are many great Jews, and they're wonderful tzaddikim and Rosh Hashivas and so on. But Reb Chaim Oizer and Imre Emes or Moshe Feinstein, we don't have. So there's a reason for that. There are a number of reasons for that. And what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu died, and now it came to Yeshua, and Hashem says to him, "Kum avoras hayar denazah ata v'chol ha'amazah." There was never such diburim with Moshe Rabbeinu, ata v'chol ha'amazah. You and all of the people. By Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no mitzvahs like that. It was Ata, like with a capital Aleph. Like a capital Aleph circled 1,000 times. Ata, he was totally apart. But now with Yeshua, it's not like that. And you know what's amazing? What's amazing is that, of course, Yeshua was appointed by Hashem. He got the appointment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was no general election. But he got the appointment from Hashem. But the people were mekabel him ba'ahava u'barasim, that he was one of them. And because of that, if you look through the entire Sefer Yeshua, it's an amazing thing. Because, you know, Jews are an amkshei arif. It's not poshut. I mentioned this morning also, I was talking about the new leadership and the old leadership. It's very, very hard to lead Jews. Those of you who are parents know just to take care of your own kids. Like the Jews are ballet days, and they're strong, and they're intelligent, and it's a whole Indian with them. So, if you look through the entire Sefer Yeshua, you could check. There's not one taina that the Jewish people had against Yeshua. It could be the last time in history ever since. There wasn't a taina against Yeshua. There's no terumas. Moshe Rabbeinu was clapped and sahakt with them, right? With all of his greatness, and they were so afraid of him. Nobody said stuff to his face, you know, except what happened with Korach, and even then it was there. But he was clapped with the nyonim that they had. Tainas. Because you know how people do things. They always say, I'm okay. Or Moshe, I'm okay. Moshe, when they say Moshe Rabbeinu, it's okay with me, but a lot of people are not happy. A lot of people were upset about this. You should know. Could you name three of them? A lot of people are upset. So no one would say to Moshe Rabbeinu, like, have a taina. Korach is an Indian, interesting Indian, how that was, and even there, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. But Rav Lechem, it was different. But it's amazing. Then the whole Sefer Yeshua, there's not a terumas. Nobody has a taina against Yeshua. Nobody has a taina against Yeshua. Nobody rebelled against Yeshua. There was no conspiracy against Yeshua like we find with Moshe Rabbeinu. There was bichlal, nothing at all. At all, at all. The reason for that is Aleph, as we learned, that Yeshua was seen as Chol Ha'am Hazeh. Yeshua was not Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the moon. Moshe Rabbeinu was the sun. And because of that, to begin with, Yeshua was seen as somebody, by the people, as somebody who did not have that light of his Rebbe. Now, you would think that would disqualify him in the eyes of the people. That would make him less in the eyes of the people. But it had just the opposite effect. It endeared him to the people. His weakness endeared him to the people. I think you could all understand that emotion, right? He's like the underdog. And the fact that he was the moon and he wasn't the sun. So the Jewish people like rallied around him and they said, Rabbi Yeshua, we're here for you. We'll help you out. And that's really what happened. This Asemus Nechsinah, what was happening there. The Yanuka from Stalin, there was one of the Stalin rebbes was called the Yanuka. Yanuka means a child. Why was he called the Yanuka? Because he became Rebbe when he was a little boy. He became Rebbe. So he said about himself, so he was like a wonder child. They came from all over to see him. He was this little boy Rebbe with thousands and thousands of chassidim. When he became older, so the Yanuka said about himself, he said, so I'm not the Yanuka anymore. Like there's nothing about me that, like it was something, like when I was a kid, it was a big Indian. I was a big deal. He said, I'm not a big deal anymore. I'm just, you know, they still call him the Yanuka. He said, but I'm an adult. And I'm not the person that, like you had this whole thing with me because I was this child that became Rebbe, but now I just have to be a Rebbe, you know. And I don't have that thing anymore that everybody was behind me because I was a child. I just have to do the right thing. So when it came to Yeshua, the Tanchuma says the following lashon. Listen to this language. This is found in Tanchuma in the Buber edition of the Tanchuma on Gimel. It says the following: V'nosnu lo kol Yisrael kosef. This is a beautiful medrash. V'nosnu lo kol Yisrael kosef. What is a kosef? Shoulder. V'nosnu lo kol Yisrael kosef. The entire Jewish people gave Yeshua their shoulder, meaning we're going to help you. That's an expression, right? We're going to help you. V'amru, and they said, kol ish, later on in the parak, kol ish ashayam respicha, anybody that goes against you, that's going to rebel against you, anybody dares, you must, we'll kill him. We'll be put to death. The Tanchuma says, nobody ever said to Moshe Rabbeinu that nobody came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said that if anybody bothers you, we'll kill him. Mostly it was like, if anybody bothers you, we agree with them. That's what it was mostly like that. Nobody said to Moshe Rabbeinu, if anybody starts up with you, we're going to take care of you. Everybody like rallied around Yeshua. They felt his fear. They felt his vulnerability. They felt that unbelievable paradigm shift from the Midbar to now, and that this responsibility fell upon his shoulders. And they knew the difference that Pnei Moshe ke Pnei Chama, that the face of Moshe is the face of the sun, and Pnei Yeshua ke Pnei Levana. And the Svarim say that, you know, when the sun is out, you don't see anything else. You can't see the stars when the sun is out. Because the sun is so bright, the stars just don't have any metzias. They become completely, they become invisible in the light of the sun. The sun is so powerful. So you can't even see any other iris. Masha'enikain, when it's night and the moon is out, then you could see the stars shining, right? Or maybe not in New York, but everywhere else in the world you could see. You could see this. So if you go to the mountains, you can see the stars shining. So the Svarim talk about this difference. As long as Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, everybody felt like nothing. Like, what do we suppose, like, the Baruch Hashem brought him upon us. Okay, he's like, whoa. He's unbelievable. There's no one like him. But everybody was bottled to him, which also led to this rebelliousness that why we have to do that. But they couldn't shine. They couldn't shine. One of the hardest things when it comes to leadership is how does a leader give others the opportunity to shine? You know, I always have this conversation with Chevra when they, you know, with the shul. When people take over the shul, we talk about these things. How important it is to delegate, right? You got to get other people to work. Chaim Elie, right? We had these conversations. Yeah. It's the hardest thing. First of all, when you're in a company, when you're in a corporation, so people are getting paid. So then you tell them, do this, do this, do that. What do you do when you have like a couple hundred volunteers? It's the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing. And you want to tell each person, you know, you're capable of certain things. But when you have a leader who's shining like the sun, you can't see the stars. They don't shine. The light of the individual can be so dimmed by a powerful leader that you don't see the kaiches of the individual, because the light of that sun just causes each of the individuals to feel like, who am I? What am I supposed to do? What could I do? So what's amazing here is that Moshe Avdi Meis, Moshe is dead, and Yeshua is lost. What am I going to do? And Hashem says to him, Vata kum. Get up. Avoras hayarden hazeh. But Hashem tells him, Ata v'chol ha'am hazeh. Everything is different now. Moshe Ben was not like that. It wasn't Moshe v'chol ha'am hazeh. It was a one-man show. And everybody just had to be bottled to him. That was the Hanhaga of the Midbar. That's the Hanhaga of Torah Shebech Sa'af. But now, the Hanhaga of Torah Shebech Peh is that Hashem Shebech wants to bring out the light of every Jew. You understand? Every Jew, that's Torah Shebech Peh. Every single, not just Nevi'im, every single Jew has a light. Every single Jew has that koyach to bring something to the table, to add something of his own. So Yeshua is being reassured here in this pasuk that you can do this, because Hashem's promising him that it's not the same thing. Now it's going to be you, but v'chol ha'am hazeh. It's going to be you, and you're going to be with the entire nation. And these people are really qualified. They have a lot of talents. They're very talented people. When Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, it wasn't so clear. Besides, they made the Mishkan, and even that, the Ramban explains, was something miraculous. How did they all of a sudden how to do this stuff? These were slaves. How did they know how to make all this fancy stuff? Besides, there's some sort of a miracle that happened. But Hashem is telling him, you have a lot of good people. And I was thinking, like, you know, try to picture, you know, Shua standing there that day, looking around at the Olam. And the Olam is saying to him, you know, we're here for you. What do you need us for? We're going to help you. But what do you know how to do? I don't know. You know, I don't know, but I'm willing to learn. But I'll do anything I can to help you. I'm here for you. That type of a public rallying around a person is something that we hadn't seen until this point. Chumash Bereishis is really about yechidim, it's about individual tzaddikim. It's not about a nation. And then we become a nation, and it's all Moshe Rabbeinu. And who are the other people? So his brother Aaron is his mouthpiece. But we don't get a sense, really, of other people in Sefer Shemais. We don't get a strong sense of other people. There are some names that stand out. Bezalel and Miriam, the family. But we don't get a sense of the people. We don't. Because really, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, it's that hanhaga of Moshe Rabbeinu, that overpowering, overwhelming presence that was necessary to take us out of that craziness of Mitzrayim and to make us into a people. But Moshe Avdi Meis, and now of Ata Kum Avoras Ayardin Hazah, Ata V'chol Ha'am Hazah, El Arth Hashem Neisim Levnei Yisrael. So this new type of leadership, we'll pick up on this Mitzvah next time, but this new type of leadership is a hanhaga kfula. It's a hanhaga kfula, and kfula means double. It's a hanhaga kfula, which typifies Jewish leadership since Yeshua, where there's a bechira min hashamayim. So, for instance, the king can only become king with the appointment of the Navi, right? The appointment of a Navi means, like Shmuel appointed, Shaul appointed David, it has to be with the appointment of the Navi. The Navi means the appointment from God, Hashem's appointing. But the din is that it has to be with the Navi, but it has to be Alpi Sanhedrin. Now the Sanhedrin, the great court, Bez Nagar, the Sanhedrin, is the representative body of the Jewish people. So from the time of Yeshua, that began a new hanhaga. Hanhaga kfula, where it's not democracy. The Torah doesn't believe in democracy. Democracy is not a Jewish thing. Neither is theocracy in the purest sense. This hanhaga kfula means, like it says in Chumash about the king, Som tasim alecha melech. Hashem says, Ma'achad ma'achicha, one of your brothers. So, the Inyan of Malchus, and we'll talk about Yeshua's status. Was Yeshua a Melech or was he not a Melech? We'll talk about that. But from now on, the Anhag is going to be Anhag. The leadership is going to be a leadership that has Hashem's wink from above, Hashem's approval. So it's clear to the people that this is somebody that Hashem approves of. How do we know that? From the Navi. Hashem approves of this person. But unless it's an individual who is supported by the who's supported by the people, it's not a general election, but our peace and head, the Sanhedrin represents the Jewish people, there needs to be this there needs to be this acceptance on the part of the Sanhedrin as well. Now, would the Sanhedrin disagree with the Navi? Well, we had a lot of things like this. We'll talk about this. But it had to be in such a way where it was a hanhaga kfula, where the Navi would bring the Ratzon of Hashem from Shemayim, and the Sanhedrin would represent what the people are looking for. And Lamaisa, the Gemara says in Brochas Daf Nun Hei, that when it comes to any leader, Ein ma'amidim parnas al hatzibur, elim kein nimlochin bitzibur. You can't appoint a community leader without consulting with the community. This new type of anhaga begins with Yeshua. That even though it's from Hashem clearly, and he was being groomed by Moshe Rabbeinu, still it was a hanhaga that came together with Am Yisrael. Atav kol ha'am hazeh. And even though we don't see clearly right now what kind of a formal acceptance was there, we'll talk more about that later in the parak. Nevertheless, it's very, very clear from this first parak that Yeshua was the person that Am Yisrael wanted, and that even though there was no formal vote, but the Jewish people voted and elected Yeshua. It was an appointment from Shemayim, but Am Yisrael said, we want him, he's our man. That was the first time it had happened. And because of that, there were no tainus. The people felt that this is, it's our person. It's our person, it's one of us. Aside from the fact that he was, you know, eclipsed by the light of Moshe Rabbeinu, and now the light of the moon is here, and the Jewish people are saying, okay, we're going to help the moon shine brighter and brighter and brighter. The stars are all saying, we're going to help the moon shine brighter. We're going to do whatever we can to help you shine. All right, so we'll continue Mishum next message.